Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, a great week to be happy. There are a number of research reports on happiness that ought to encourage people on the right side of the political spectrum. Actually, six different studies, all of which seem to suggest that being conservative makes you happier. Or is it that being happier makes you conservative? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about one conservative who seems perpetually pretty confident. Even under tough times, Chris Christie is going to be joining us later with the details of some of what he recommends in his new book, Republican Rescue. The former governor of New Jersey is increasingly outspoken about some of the fissures in the Republican Party. In particular, I'm eager to speak with him about the declaration by two members of the House, at least so far, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, both of whom are saying, no, they don't want Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. So who would be the Speaker then? There is this crazy rumor. It's one of two crazy rumors. We'll confront the both. The crazy rumor number one is that instead of Kevin McCarthy, when the Republicans take over the House, and notice this sublime confidence that is spreading across the Republican world and the conservative world. Yeah, the Republicans are very likely to win the House of Representatives. They get to elect a Speaker. Who will it be? What about Donald Trump? Well, he's eligible. You don't have to be a member of the House to be Speaker of the House. It's very specific. We've never had a Speaker of the House who was elected from outside the House of Representatives, but that could happen. And if the Republicans have a majority and a majority of Republicans get behind Donald Trump, then Donald Trump becomes in line for the presidency. And this goes back to that whole plan to install Trump before the election of 2024. That would mean that you impeach, because you have a Republican House, you can launch an impeachment, you impeach Biden and Harris, and boom, Trump is there as president again. Do I think this is at all likely? I think it's preposterous. But it's also fairly preposterous what they're talking about on the Democratic side, which is, okay, we are doomed with Biden and Kamala, so what do we have to do? What we have to do is nominate, when Stephen Breyer, which could be any day, by the way, when Stephen Breyer, who is 82, he's the same age Biden would be when he was running for re-election, if he did run for re-election, but when Stephen Breyer resigns, or steps down from the Supreme Court, then Biden appoints Kamala, the vice president, to take the place of Kamala Harris. And in any event, who gets appointed by Biden? Under the 25th Amendment, he gets to appoint a new vice president. That's what happened when Spiro Agnew resigned Richard Nixon appointed Gerald Ford, who later became president. So who does Biden appoint? Who knows? But somebody they think is electable, because Democratic insiders don't believe that either Biden or Harris are electable. And is that an interesting thing to kick around? Well, yeah, except the problem is whoever gets appointed, unless this all transpires and unfolds this year, is very likely going to be facing a Senate that is not going to be super-duper eager to confirm a Democrat who is viable for Vice President of the United States. Or perhaps not even to confirm Vice President Harris as a Supreme Court Justice. She has been Attorney General of California. She was a prosecutor before. I suspect she would be rated as qualified by the bar rating people, but let us see. None of this is likely to happen, and none of this is likely to deal with the problem of the day, The problem of the day, the threat of the day, is the Omicron variant. Now, here we have a name that is so new on the world stage that I'm sure, don't think President Biden has quite gotten a handle on the pronunciation. But it is Omicron. We spent some time trying to figure out exactly what is correct. That is the 15th letter of the Greek alphabet. It's the O letter of the Greek alphabet. They're already down to that variant, but this variant is spreading very quickly. And here is what President Biden had to say about it this morning. This is clip 5A.
There are three messages about the new variant that I want the American people to hear. First, this variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. We have the best vaccine in the world, the best medicines, the best scientists, and we're learning more every single day. And we'll fight this variant with scientific and knowledgeable actions and speed, not chaos and confusion. We have more tools today to fight the variant than we've ever had before, from vaccines to boosters to vaccines for children, 5 years and older, and much more. A year ago, America was floundering against the first variant of COVID. We beat that variant significantly, and then we got hit by a far more powerful threat, the Delta variant. But we took action, and now we're seeing deaths from Delta come down. We'll fight the, you know, and look, we're going to fight and beat this new variant as well.
Okay, what's the main thing for fighting and beating the variant, according to the President of the United States? Listen, 5B.
Second, the best protection, I know you're tired of hearing me say this, the best protection against this new variant or any of the variants out there, the ones we've been dealing with already, is getting fully vaccinated and getting a booster shot. Most Americans are fully vaccinated, but not yet boosted. If you're 18 years or over and got fully vaccinated before June the 1st, go get the booster shot today. They're free, and they're available at 80,000 locations coast to coast.
Okay, and there's still over 50 million Americans who are unvaccinated. No boosters either. And then he says this. This is 5C.
Third, in the event, hopefully unlikely, that updated vaccinations or boosters are needed to respond to this new variant, we will accelerate their development and deployment with every available tool.
Okay. And then what about the travel restrictions that he has placed on the threat amid the Omicron variant? Listen. Four.
Identified the new variant. I took immediate steps to restrict travel from countries in southern Africa. But while we have that travel restrictions can slow the speed of Omicron, it cannot prevent it. But here's what it does. It gives us time. It gives us time to take more actions, to move quicker, to make sure people understand you have to get your vaccine. You have to get the shot. You have to get the booster if you're the sooner or later we're gonna see cases of this new variant here in the United States.
And that is predicted at any time. Look, there are some very scary things about this new variant and some things that are maybe a bit reassuring, but the need for vaccines continues. Some very angry reactions to the travel bans, and not quite as angry as to Trump's travel bans initially, which were actually a good thing. We will be right back on the Medved Show with more on the latest.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most
wonderful time. And let us hope that it is a wonderful time of the year, with continued progress against the Delta variant, with maybe a shutdown of the Omicron variant. And it's not Omicron, as President Biden says. It's Omicron. Okay. Let's hope as soon as we learn how to say it, the thing disappears. Now, one of the ways it could disappear is I've read several reports. They're covered in the New York Times, in the Washington Post. They're covered in the Wall Street Journal, all of which quote some medical authorities, not with any certainty, but with the impression that based upon the information that people are getting from South Africa, which is where this originated, the thing is very transmissible, the new variant. It is very contagious, highly contagious, and you can pass from people very easily. But it appears to have a very mild symptoms. It does not appear to be deadly and devastating the way the Delta variant has been and continues to be. They continue to read horrible stories about people who get sick with the variant. The New York Times did a huge piece, and it was actually took an attitude that surprised me from the New York Times. They took the attitude condemning a series of websites that have sprung up and all kinds of quasi-organized efforts to breach the privacy of people who have been anti-vax, who have been basically COVID skeptical, who have downplayed the threat of COVID, and then have died. And there are lots of people like that. I mean, thousands, literally thousands. And they start out with the profile of one individual who's been made a real poster boy. His name is Bledsoe. He's from Alabama. Sounds like a stalwart guy, very conservative, very big supporter of President Trump, and very much not believing in vaccines and not really believing in the virus as a threat to the country. And the last words he had before he went on the ventilator, after which you're apparently semi-conscious, his last words were saying, as soon as I recover, I'm going to get a vaccine. And he never recovered. He died. This, to me, is just unspeakably sad. And for people to take what they call schadenfreude, which is joy in the shade, or joy in somebody else's suffering, it's just wrong to do that. But these websites and collections of these stories all are trying to achieve the same point, which is to get more Americans vaccinated. Now, this is complicated because they have no idea yet the extent to which the current vaccines are actually going to protect people in any way, or as effectively as the vaccines do protect people and do reduce the dangers of the Alpha variant, and which was the original COVID-19 virus, or the Delta variant, or any of the other variations. Meanwhile, there is this travel ban. And with that underway, the question is a new lockdown level sweeping across the country, is that going to be next? Are those restaurants that have just started opening up and the Broadway shows that my daughter, who just headed back to New York, that she enjoys so much, is that going to close down? Is it all going to close down? Of course, the Broadway shows, the Stephen Sondheim contribution to Broadway is still being honored. He died at the age of 91 over the weekend. In any event, a reporter asked President Biden what I think is on everybody's mind, which is just as we were getting used to a more normal life, which is what President Biden had gotten elected to promise us are we going to be facing a new range of lockdowns? His answer? Well, what do you think? Here is the president, clip six.
Is this the new normal that Americans should expect, anticipating future potential variants? Should we expect intermittent travel restrictions and potential drops in the stock market going forward? Do you have any words of reassurance that this won't become the new normal? And then for both you and Dr. Fauci said earlier on CBS that lockdowns, shutdowns are off the table for restraining COVID going forward. You said that won't be part of your plan on Thursday. But why is that? Why are you taking that off the table?
Well, to answer your first question first, the answer is I expect this not to be the new normal. I expect the new normal to be everyone ends up getting vaccinated in the booster shot, so we reduce the number of people who aren't protected to such a low degree that we're not seeing the spread of these viruses. Now, we remain to be seen exactly what the elements of this particular strain are, but if they're as I hope, then it's not going to be fundamentally different than in the past. In terms of, what was the second part of the question?
Are lockdowns off the table?
Yes, for now, yes.
Why is that?
Well, because we're able to, if people are vaccinated and wear their mask, there's no need for the lockdown.
Okay. Again, the takeaway, yes, lockdowns are off the table for now. And it's a big hope. And it's hope that everybody should feel, for God's sake. I find it difficult to understand, is it may be that ultimately there's not going to be a complete conquest of the virus. There's not going to be a complete turning away or overturning of the pandemic and the fear and the lockdowns and the destruction and the drain on the economy, which is still straining to keep progressing, and dealing with inflation is a real problem. But all of that will not get better if people continue discouraging the vaccinations. If you look at the numbers in terms of where people are vaccinated and the levels at which people are vaccinated, it relates very directly to the amount of serious illness. And if you can reduce the amount of serious illness, why the hell not? I don't understand it. And today there was a tweet that has generated quite a bit of hostility, and I think appropriate hostility, for Congressman Ronny Jackson, who's a Republican of Texas. He's a former White House physician to the president. To President Trump and to President Obama, both. So what does he have to say about the Omicron variant? We will get to that coming up on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself
Jeremy, that's Tony Bennett now? That's a new version?
From now on,
okay, but he still is. He's 95 years old this year. I don't know exactly when this was taped, but he recently did an album, I think less than a year ago, with Lady Gaga. Which is a great comment. I mean, he's 60 years older than she is. And that's 95 years old. And at a time when The world of Broadway fans mourns 91-year-old Stephen Sondheim. All the more reason to cherish Tony Bennett with his wishes of holiday cheer. Okay, not a lot of holiday cheer regarding Ronny Jackson, who is, as I mentioned, he's a former White House physician. He's a flag officer in the Navy, and it was a very complicated Navy record. He had a special investigation of some alleged abuses of his years in the Navy. After he retired and was preparing to run for Congress, in any event, he is a member of Congress from Texas. And Congressman Jackson sent out the following tweet: "Here comes the MEV." Now, that's not short for Medved. That's the MEV. He says that's the midterm election variant. They need, capital letters, a reason to push unsolicited nationwide mail-in ballots. Democrats will do anything to cheat during an election, but we're not going to let them. Okay. The idea is Dr. Jackson, and yes, he is a medical doctor and a prominent medical doctor when you're the White House physician to both Obama and to Trump, though Congressman Jackson has said that his former patient, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, is a deep state traitor. And now he is suggesting that basically the new variant, the Omicron variant, is a Democratic plot? Do you think that if they could whip up a Democratic new variant so quickly, so easily, that wouldn't they be able to probably help the Democratic cause more by bringing down the level of disease here in the United States by blocking those earlier explosions of COVID-19? And just think about it for a moment. For people who aren't completely bewitched by conspiracy theories and believe in groups of evil child molesters and pizza parlor basements drinking blood and trafficking in children, if you're not in that point of view, if you don't believe that the Sandy Hook elementary school shooting was a gross fake, unless you're there, can anyone take seriously the idea that this is a Democratic plot? This is what the press secretary of the White House, of the Biden team, Jen Psaki, said in her press briefing this morning about the new ban on travel to South Africa, where this began, and to a group of other African countries to try to protect the United States as long as possible, as much as possible, from this new Omicron variant. Here's Jen Psaki.
The objective here is not to punish. It is to protect the American people. As you just heard the president say, this is not going to prevent, it is going to delay. And that delay is going to help us have necessary time to do the research by our health and medical teams to get more people vaccinated and get more people boosted. And he is always going to err on the side of protecting the American people. I would note that the difference between South Africa and European countries is that there are already hundreds, if not thousands, of cases of the new variant in South Africa, and not as many, much a lower number at this point, in Europe. But we will continue to assess what steps we need to take to protect the American people.
And one could say that America's economic connection with Europe is more intense, more important, more significant to the United States and our well-being than our economic connection with these are the nations that are currently being banned. And the visitors from South Africa, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Lesotho, Eswatini, Mozambique, and Malawi. And one of the things that I think that the United States can and will do, and at least there have been hints about that, was that as soon as they're able to determine that the vaccines can be effective against the Omicron variant, they will try to get some vaccines to those stricken countries. The reaction to the travel ban, Cyril Ramaphosa, who is the president of South Africa, he is a very worthy successor, much less corrupt, much less dictatorial, much less Marxist than Jacob Zuma, who was the previous president, who was under arrest for corruption actually recently. But President Ramaphosa of South Africa said this about the restrictions. This is 11A.
These restrictions are completely unjustified and unfairly discriminate against our country and our Southern African sister countries. The prohibition of travel is not informed by science, nor will it be effective in preventing the spread of this variant.
We're punishing South Africa.
And then Scott Gottlieb, former director of the FDA under President Trump, had this to say.
They're doing the right thing and telling other nations that, you know, who want to sequence strains that they find, that we're giving them real disincentive to do that, because if right. they turn over new variants, this is what's going to happen to them. So this is a bad step, I think, from a policy standpoint.
Okay, we shall see. And it seems like a valid point, but then what does that mean? Does that mean you simply have no effort to put on travel bans, as we're waiting to find out more about this situation? And in this period, and remember, President Biden made the point that he thought this was a delay, not a cure for the situation. The delay that he's talking about, in that time period, there is talk from the CEO of Pfizer that we may actually be seeing the development of a new COVID vaccine directed specifically to block the new Omicron variant. We will hear about that and more, plus new words from the director of the National Institute of Health, Dr. Francis Collins. That and more coming up on The Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776.
Entertain your brain.
Oh, it's awesome.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, talking about the reaction of the world, really, to the Omicron variant, we are so tired, all of us, it seems to me, of the disputes and the accusations and the negativity and the impact on our lives and every aspect of our lives of this ongoing pandemic. I mean, if you look at it, it's very difficult to put it into perspective and to have any kind of certainty about when it comes to an end. But I do think it's encouraging when you hear this from Albert Bourla, who is the CEO of Pfizer. And I think Pfizer still counts as the most used, most successful of the vaccines on COVID so far. And Bourla actually spoke on CNBC and talked about a new variant of the vaccine that could actually help to counteract the Omicron variant as a virus. Listen.
When it comes to the vaccine, it remains to be seen. I don't think that the result will be
the vaccines don't protect. I think the results could be, which we don't know yet, that the vaccines protect less, which means that if the vaccines protect less, it is that we need to create a new vaccine. Already we started Friday. Friday we made our first DNA template, which is the first part of the manufacturing, of the development process of a new vaccine. And we have made multiple times clear that we will be able to have a vaccine in less than 100 days. In fact, we have already two vaccines built in less than 100 days.
Okay, that at least is a beginning. And again, despite everything that people may be hearing, the vaccines do work, and they work not only in making it less likely that you will get the disease, but making it much more likely that your symptoms will be mild and that you should be able to get through the disease with a vaccine much more easily than you would if you remain unvaccinated. The percentage of people who are unvaccinated or incompletely vaccinated, of people who are hospitalized and who die from COVID-19 is overwhelming. I mean, most of the numbers show, depending on the place you're in or the part of the country, it's of the death rate, it's over 90% are unvaccinated. And again, when people talk about the unvaccinated being a persecuted minority group, most persecution has to do with things that you don't choose. When people are prejudiced against someone, when they are hostile to someone, they're demeaning to someone, it's not based on something someone's chosen. It's based upon a characteristic that you may be born with, like your race, or it could be your religious faith that you've embraced. But the choosing the state of unvaccination when you represent something more of a danger to others, and at the same time that you represent a threat to yourself, a higher threat to yourself, and to filling hospital beds and resources that other people may need, that's no reason for hostility from one American to another, but it's a reason for, honestly, all reasonable people to understand that as we face all of this difficulty, we really do need to come together on this. I had spoken earlier in the program about this crazy talk about coming together, Republicans winning control of the House, and then electing a new speaker. I thought it was very striking that in Matt Gaetz's podcast, he's the congressman from Florida. He's under investigation from the Ethics Committee for traveling across state lines with underage young ladies. He's recently married, I believe. But Matt Gaetz had Marjorie Taylor Greene on, and they were talking together about how much they are disillusioned with Kevin McCarthy. Now, I can understand people being... well, it's possible that people can be upset about Kevin McCarthy's speech against the budget-busting buyback better bill, build back better bill. But the speech was 8.5 hours long, which even by Trumpian standards, that's a long speech. President Trump apparently loved it. But a number of President Trump's most ardent supporters in the House, like the two I mentioned, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, apparently are convinced that Kevin McCarthy should not be the next speaker. Now, who should be the next speaker? Should it be It's not going to be Louis Gohmert because he's leaving the House of Representatives. He's the 11th Republican who is retiring from the House and not running for re-election. The 18th Democrat just announced her stepping away from the House. So that's one of the many reasons that Republicans are so heavily favored for winning control of the House this time, because it's a huge advantage to run as an incumbent for the House of Representatives. Most people don't really know that much about House candidates. In fact, if you think about it quickly, think about if you know who your congressman is, I doubt that most Americans know who the defeated candidate was in the last House election. It's really because there are 435 House members. Now, in a state like the state of Vermont, where there's only one member of the House, you tend to know who that is. State of Wyoming, only one member of the House. That's Liz Cheney. It's Peter Welch, by the way, who is the one member of the House in Vermont. He is a Democrat, of course. Vermont is one of the most Democratic countries, one of the most Democratic states. It is like a little country. It was briefly before it became a state. But Vermont, the Green Mountain state, Peter Welch is just announcing his candidacy for Senate. He's going to replace Pat Leahy, who's the outgoing elderly president pro tem of the Senate. He would be losing that distinction anyway to Charles Grassley, who was president pro tem before, assuming that Grassley is reelected, which I think is very likely. He's 87. Anyway, the idea that they want to select a new Speaker of the House is a fascinating question, because it is very possible that if they pick a new speaker and the new speaker has a successful 2 years as speaker, he'll be a significant candidate for president. Because we're in a situation right now where for all of those people who actually doubt that President Trump will make the race, and I know that Bill Maher says he's absolutely sure that Trump will make the race and win the Republican nomination, we're going to be talking to Chris Christie about that, because he has a book about Republican rescue that has just come out, where he says, as Republicans, we need to free ourselves from the quicksand of endless grievances. Now, does that sound like a plea to move on beyond Trump? We will see about that. But the difficulty with the idea of Trump being selected as the Speaker of the House, and I know the idea of that ploy is then you can impeach Biden and you can impeach Harris, and boom, Trump becomes president because the Speaker of the House is next in line. Well, that's not so easy to do. How many presidents have been impeached and removed from office by Senate vote? The answer is zero. And part of the reason for that is all you need is one-third of the Senate. The Democrats may do very badly this time, but they will win at least one-third of the Senate for sure. So that particular fantasy, though it's fascinating to speculate on, is probably the most unlikely possible outcome for this greatest nation on God's green earth.